Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
You know, you go to Hebrews 11 again, and you don't get very far in before you run into Noah, don't you? And how does it describe Noah's conviction? I mean, here he was standing against a world, no doubt ridiculed for all that he was doing, but the one thing he did was walk with God and believe what God said, but the belief was not just a mental thing, it caused him to obey what God told him to do. This is what you and I are going to have that kind of a relationship with God where he can communicate when he needs to. And every one of us has, as I say, a particular place in this particular world, this particular time. Your destiny in an earthly sense may not be exactly mine. In fact, it likely won't be. I'll let it go. But I mean, there's all kinds of crazy things could happen. Somebody could walk in here and shoot us all. Have we lost? Not at all. But here is Noah. Now listen to what it says. By his faith, this is in the middle of verse 7. By his faith. Now what was it? What did his faith, what was the conviction of his faith? Or what was the consequence of this? By his faith, he condemned the world. Now that doesn't mean having a hateful spirit. But folks, God is going to have to give us such a conviction that we not only see what the world stands for and what it's about, but we're willing to say, that's not me, I don't agree with that. I'm serving him. Come hell or high water, I'm serving him. What is it that overcomes the world, even our faith? God is wanting to implant. Talk about having all the resources that we need. That's the biggie. Because if that's what overcomes the world, then man, I need that. I need him to grow it, to implant it in me in the first place, and to grow it. You think there's a reason why we go through things right now? Do you think God may be preparing us to stand? But look at what it involved. One thing it involves in every instance is a choice. God is going to allow a circumstance to arise where, in one sense, I have a choice. Am I going to believe God, a God I can't see, a God that I can't touch, I can't see something immaterial in this world to back up this belief, but there's a conviction that he's planted here, and am I going to believe that, or am I going to believe what my flesh wants, what the world tells me is so, what I see, what I can touch? Where is my faith going to be? I'll tell you, this is what's going to separate people who are God's people, headed for an eternity with him in the kingdom that he is building, the purpose he is fulfilling, and those who are outside and headed for destruction. It's that simple. Okay? So Noah made that choice. Abraham, of course, we've talked about so many times. I'm going to have to hustle through here, but of course I don't have to be bound by the clock, but I don't want to abuse my liberty either. Abraham had a whole lot of choices to make in his life, didn't he? He heard the voice in some fashion. God made himself known to Abraham, and it wasn't just that he believed God and said, that's great, I'm going to have nations come from me. I'm just going to go on about my business. No. The vision and the word that God gave him was such that he had to obey. He had to put that into action. Folks, God is going to give us things in our lives where we're going to have to be willing to take action based upon the conviction that God has put in our hearts. We're going to have to do some standing. In his case, it was leaving family. It was a separation. It was leaving everything that he had known. Going by faith in an unseen God to a place he'd never been before. And all the things that he went through throughout his life, the faith that, that God was building in him and how he was willing to stand even when it became impossible for him to have a child, or his wife certainly to have one, 90-year-old lady. No possible human way that such a thing could be fulfilled. And he stood and he said, no, God said. And then when God said, sacrifice him, the son, the very son that I promised you, sacrifice him. And his obedience went all the way to the point where he had the knife raised. Now the writer of the Hebrews says that, you know, explains this, that, well, he believed that even if he killed him, God could raise him from the dead. Well, that's certainly true. You know, God will put us in situations where we don't know how it's coming out. And we're going to have to make the right choice anyway. So many examples are given in here, but one of them is the three Hebrew children. How many times have we pointed this one out? God arranged the circumstance. Do you think this was an accident? In the first place, they had been carried off as captives from Israel into a heathen land to serve a heathen emperor. And the heathen emperor, being the heathen that he was, had all kinds of idols and gods. And so he built this great image, and everybody was supposed to bow down. God allowed him to do all of that, like God is allowing the devil to do what he's doing. And there he had some children of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. You know who the real descendants of Abraham are? They're not the children of the flesh. They're the children of Abraham's faith. They're the descendants of his faith. And these three men were descendants of his faith. And so there they were. Here are your two options. Door number one, bow to this idol. Swear allegiance to it. Door number two, burn. How would you like to be faced with that choice? You think some of us might actually reach a point like that? We're going to need the Lord, aren't we? We're going to need something we don't have in ourselves. You think he's going to be enough? Praise God. Okay? And when they made that choice to say, I will not bow, we will not bow, they didn't know the outcome that we know about. So we can read that and say, yeah, I know how that came out. That's great. They didn't know that. And we're going to be in situations where we do not know how it's going to turn out. And God's going to say, you have a choice. The devil is going to be allowed to do whatever he's going to be allowed to do. And we're going to have to make a choice and say, I am not going to go your way. I don't care. I'm going to serve my God. And that was the choice they made. And God gave them, in that instance, God's purpose, Satan's purpose, was to exalt this heathen emperor, to destroy all faith in anybody else, to suppress it, bring them all under his control. God had a greater purpose to give such a powerful demonstration of who he was that the word and the message of that went to the ends of that great empire. We got a God who can do what he wants. And I'll tell you, whatever purpose he has in the end of this age is going to be fulfilled. And sometimes it may be something great and miraculous. And in this case, it was. They threw him in there. We know the story and how there was a fourth man in that fire. Praise God. You know that fourth man is with us in whatever fire he calls us to walk in? That fourth man is our Lord Jesus, who said, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. Praise God. Well, he didn't forsake them then, did he? And they came out of that fire, couldn't even smell it. And you read throughout this whole passage, there's so many things that we could read and we've heard so many times. But just for today, I think, let's go down to verse 32. Because he's talked about Abraham, he's talked about Moses, and he's, you know, talked about Rahab. I mean, talk about Rahab. Maybe there's somebody here that just feels like, you know, this isn't me he's talking about. Who am I? Who am I that God cares about somebody like me? I'm weak. I'm nothing. How can I face the end of the age? Well, yeah, the truth is every one of us is in that category. But you look at a woman like Rahab, who was a prostitute in a heathen city. But there was a conviction God had implanted on her heart as to where her true loyalty needed to be, and she hid the spies when they sent them into Jericho. And God not only brought her out and saved her, she was actually way down. She was an ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ as far as the flesh is concerned. God can take the most unlikely, weakest person and make them a part of His kingdom that matters. There's no excuse. I don't care who you are and how weak you are and how bad your past is, whatever you think stands against you, Jesus Christ conquered it all. For those who are willing to humble themselves and put their trust in Him and give them their hearts, He is more than enough. Praise God. Okay? And what more shall I say? Verse 32 of Hebrews 11. I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and about David and Samuel and the prophets. He lists all these characters that we know, and so many of these won great military victories. Oh, it's powerful what the Lord did. They conquered, through faith, conquered kingdoms. Isn't that interesting? Through faith. In other words, they didn't muster any kind of human resource to do what they did. In every case, God told them to do something or gave them a confidence, this is what you need to do and I'll be with you. And they did it and God was with them. It's real complicated. I'm glad the Lord made it simple. I need Him to be simple with me. Praise God. Okay? Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength. Anybody need that this morning? Yeah. And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, over and over again. Now, here's one thing that I felt like the Lord wanted to emphasize about this today. We have our own idea as to what constitutes victory and overcoming, do we not? Is it not easy for us to think in terms of God turning around a situation and bringing forth some great earthly result as a fruit of our faith? That is, if I have real faith, then such and such is going to happen. This is going to be the result. Is that necessarily true? Is that what overcoming is about? Let's see. There were others. All right, let's see what the others, where they fit into this. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released, so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. Did they overcome? So we need to understand what overcoming is about.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.